Now I'd like to read four scriptures tonight from the Word of God. And the first is going to be found in Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts and chapter 17. And verse number 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city holy, given to idolatry. Drop down, please, toward the end of the chapter, verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, craven by art and man's device. And at times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now 1 Corinthians, please, on chapter 15. I will break in at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Now turn on over to the book of Ephesians. And chapter 2. On verse number 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, final reference in Luke's Gospel, please, in chapter 16. Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. And we're going to break in at verse number 25. For Abram said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good thing, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Trust to God will bless these readings and help us to join them together very simply for you tonight in the meeting. What's on my heart? I think the word now is very prominent in each of the verses that we've read together, or each of the scriptures, and I want to look at them very, very basic, very simple, that you might pick up something tonight in this meeting that might help you. Last night we tried to indicate the reason why men and women and boys and girls do not come to Christ, do not come into the blessing that God has for them, fail to appreciate the work of the Lord Jesus and what heaven's all about. The reason is that there's darkness upon the mind and the heart of men and women and boys and girls. But there's another reason tonight, and I want to look at it here, the now of repentance. In other words, what I want to point out very simply is this. Generally speaking, people will listen to the gospel and hear about the Lord Jesus, and they hear about His work on the cross, and they hear about His precious blood, and they leave the meetings, and they seem to be unstirred, unalarmed, unawakened, unmoved. What has happened? They have listened to the gospel. But the reason is this, friend, they have never had repentance wrought in their hearts or their minds. And I believe, friend, tonight, without repentance, according to this great book of God, without repentance, there's no salvation. No salvation. Repentance always precedes, is linked to indissolubly with salvation. You remember the teaching of the Lord, of Paul himself when he preached, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The two are linked together. But remember, the Lord Jesus actually preached at the beginning of His public ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But remember the one that preceded Christ, John the Baptist, that clarion call that he sent out to those that came to listen to him. That very unique John the Baptist. Someone said of John the Baptist, he was a plain man, he wore plain clothes, he ate plain food, and he preached a plain message. And so he did. He preached these words, repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so, my friend, here we have it, Paul the Apostle, when he went to Athens, that city that was highly cultured, that city with all its ornamentations, that city of pride, that city of idolatry. It tells us there were more idols in Athens than were people. Everywhere you went, every street, every crossroads, every hamlet, every outside place, all was idols. People were bowing to them. And Paul, when he went there, he didn't behold the beauty or the architecture of that place. He was beyond all that. If I was going to Athens, of course, I want to see the highlights. I'd be looking at all the different beauty spots. I'd be looking up my little, what do they call it, brochure, and there I'd be finding out the highlights of Athens. Now Paul, this man with a heart that was a true soul winner, a man that had one vision, the lost was ever before him. God had saved him on the Damascus Road. And he lived his life and burned himself out to preach the glad, glorious, emancipating tidings of the Lord Jesus. I would have loved to have heard him preach. Especially in Athens at this time. And he didn't bother looking at all the beauty spots and all the architecture. His heart was stirred. I often think in the book of Acts 17, first of all, what he saw. And what he saw was the city wholly given to idolatry. And then what he felt, his spirit was moved within him. He was stirred in his innermost being. He felt for these people who were bowing down to stone, who were living in a highly intelligent and cultured society, priding themselves in the beauty of Athens and all its attainments and intellectualism. And yet, friend, they were dark as far as salvation was concerned, what he felt. And then what he spake, or what he spoke, that's what I want to talk here at the end. This man stood that day in Mars Hill, and with a clear crystal voice, he pealed out the message that reached men and women and boys and girls. And I want to sum it up like this. It was a message of repentance. Repentance. What does repentance mean, friend? It means a change of mind or a change of heart. It means you have to change your whole thinking about things. You see, people think, well, my religion's all right, or because I go to a gospel meeting, it's all right. Sure, it's all right to come to a gospel meeting, but that will never take you to heaven, friend. You'll heal away here. But coming here will not take you to heaven. No matter what you do, no matter what you think, friend, you have to change your whole thinking. That's difficult. It was hard on the apostle himself to change all his thinking about the religion he was brought up, the religion of his fathers, the Jewish religion. But friend, he changed his whole thinking. That's what God's looking for in these meetings, that you'll change your thinking about yourself. and you'll take sides with God, that you'll believe what God has to say about you. I don't know, there's not one here. Now, just use common sense. There's not one here who will go to the doctor's office. If you have, you can put up your hand while it breaks. And when the doctor tells you what's wrong with you, you say, no, 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 doctor, I don't believe you. No matter what he says, you'll, well, you'll accept. And you probably have a little appendix to it. Well, I try to help you. Tries to soothe the problem. But friend, I hope when God speaks to you, when God's strength to reach you, it's not us preaching here in the platform. It's the Spirit of God would take this word and apply it in power to your soul, friend. What's God telling you? Well, God says you're ungodly. Where does repentance come in? Repentance comes in, and I say, oh God, it's true about me. I changed my whole thinking. I am ungodly. And when God says I'm lost, I change my whole thinking. I say, yes, Lord, I am lost. When God says I'm unrighteous, God is right and I am wrong. You know, the hardest word in the words to utter in the English is, I am wrong. But friend, you have to come to that before God. There's no way wrong. There's no way. Listen, friend, I challenge you tonight. In this little meeting, I challenge you. Here's a Bible. 66 books. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. If you can show me, friend, any other way to get to heaven, please, please tell me. God says repentance is necessary. A change of mind, a change of heart. You remember the prodigal? That's what he did. He came to himself and he said, I have sinned. You remember Job? I am vile. He repented. He changed his thinking about himself. My friend, there's no way around that. You tell me if there is. I never found it. That's what happened to me 38 years ago. I took sides with God. You remember when you did? You know, I'll tell you something tonight. Well, I'll tell you a secret. It's as clear to me my repentance as my conversion. It's as clear in my mind when I turned around and said, oh God, it's all true, as when I trusted him as my Savior. And I want to tell you, friend, you'll never get false professors that genuinely repent. Never. The person that genuinely repents changes his mind, agrees with God against himself, acknowledges God is true, and as Mr. McElwain found at one time, when he was struggling with his soul, let God be true. Every man a liar. I take sides with God. I don't care what people say. I don't care what this one says or that one says. What God says is really all important. That's the apex of it all, friends. You can listen to us for 6 weeks or 5 weeks. The length of time we're here, and you can come and go, friend, and nothing touch you, and nothing moves you, but God comes into the meeting, and touches that heart of yours, friend, and makes you recognize, I am guilty. I am lost. I am perishing. I'm not going to take on myself to turn around to God and say, well, Lord, I'm not just as bad. I'm just going to tell God it's all absolutely true. Oh, give me a soul like that. I could sit down in our volunteer voice and you should enter the kingdom, friends. Give me one soul in this audience tonight who genuinely takes sides with God against themselves. Paul preached it. Listen, I want you to get it. The now of repentance, all men, not some. All men, everywhere, every place, to repent. And of course he blesses it on the resurrection of Christ. And my friend tonight, listen. You take that cross. There's some people are afraid to come out and you don't want to say that God is true. They're afraid to do that. And if they'd only be honest, God would bless them for doing that. God would never hold back the salvation to a genuine, honest heart
that agrees with him. He says, Lord,
that's absolutely true.
Is there one like that in the meeting? Have you come to that in the meeting? Have the meetings affected you that way? Have you went home and got down your Bible, forget about the truth? Men that are preaching, you got down your Bible and say, well, that is what God says. And I have to take sides with God. I'm fighting a losing battle. If I don't, why dost thou strive against him? Throw down the arms. Say, surrender. Hard for people to do that. Hard for people to say that. And that's not just Irish people. You know, we say, no surrender. My friend, no matter whether you're a Canadian or no matter what your background is or whatever it is, we all find it difficult to say surrender. God is right and I have nothing more to say. I put on my arms as we use that figure of speech and I said, Lord, it's all true. Like the man in Luke chapter 18, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to touch very quickly and very briefly the now of resurrection. Sometimes the word now can mean a point of time. Sometimes it's a present continual thing. Sometimes it covers an expanse. The now of resurrection is telling us Christ is risen. Never to die again. And if Christ be not risen, says the apostle, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, my salvation hinges not only in the fact of a Christ that died, but I am assured, eternally assured, I never, never be in hell because he lives. Now is Christ risen. The resurrection of Christ is the greatest, grandest, noblest, most emancipating truth in all our Bible, friends. The man that was put in a tomb with tender hands, wicked hands crucified him. But God saw that priestly hands brought him down from the tree. I don't know whether you're over in England or not, and you've brought some of the high spots. Mr. Ramsey and I, when we were there, I was very touched. You had a window, you went into this big building, and there were two men at the door. It was a building that was there to commemorate Queen Victoria's husband and Prince Albert. And it's a beautiful building, all kind of slabs right round, and all the names of her family etched in the marble, and underneath the verse on Jerusalem. And you went into that building, there were two men met you, and the first thing they said, "Trust, keep up your hat." And then after that, they would say to you, before you move, to the right one to say, no doubt. You talk about a sight. Prison man for woman, celebrating. As you looked at the vault, and you looked up, and then you went down to the back of that, it just lit with light. Some artist, up and down, and had painted four full length of the wall, pictures of the Christ. And the postcode is this: Gethsemane, not my will but thine be done. The thought was touching. So did Mr. Ramsey. And then the next one you come, she was this: there they crucified him. I like the next one. Stone rolled away at an empty tomb. He is risen. Mr. Ramsey said, I've been preached right here. He said, look at that. Why does these people mess? And the woman said, shh. My, we bring on the preacher, aren't you? When you just look at those pictures. So real, so definite, so genuine, friend. Gethsemane, the will of God, wrought by Christ. The cross, crucifixion. He is risen. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. My friend, tonight, if you're going to be saved, you'll recognize this, the now of repentance. I must repent. And the now of resurrection, the one that I trust, is raised from the dead. That's what the gospel is all about. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. I was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures.
The now resurrection.
One intellectual boy, he was finding it awful hard to be sealed. Have you looked up tonight? Oh, yes, sir. Going through a maze of intellect, trying to figure it out. 1 and 1 makes 2, 2 and 2 makes 4. He had a Bible in the bathroom, and a Bible in the kitchen, and a Bible in the bedroom, and he had a Bible in every room here. And he went in, the space was just dropped. And he just kept shaking his head. He said, well, I can't see it. It's not for me. And I can't see it. I'm red and red. It's all dark. That's what I was before the last year. That's what you were doing. You never say before the last year, I think I do. You just say, no.
One night in the meeting when we were preaching, Jeremy, we were preaching there, one man put it, and he left it in midair. So, man, this is a good thing. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures.
He's buried. Raised again the third day, Paul's. According to the scriptures.
If you were going home in the car, I wasn't in that car, but his parents told me they were taking him home. He was in the back seat with his sister, and he was whistling.
A hill. And then he was hungry. And his mother said, have you lost your sister? He says, no, I wasn't going to tell you, but I could see it in the meeting.
She said, you did? How did you get saved?
He said, it's according to the scripture, not according to my scripture.
My friend, that's where a person gets saved.
Not according to your intellect, or you're mustering up a whole lot of things in your mind. Now it's in front of it, so you think so, Bible? Now it's it. No, friends.
The moment you take God at His word, the moment you accept what God says, Christ died, buried, raised again, according to the scriptures. Thank God, the now of resurrection.
The now of redemption. The now of redemption. I like this in Ephesians. And I thought of the city, Paul went in with a simple, clear, carrying call in the gospel. Just simple and clear truth, friend. Gospel truth. What happened to those Ephesians listened. And my friend, things turned upside down. Things started to move. People started to get awakened. Souls started to tremble. Sinners started to call. And souls could say, and he's writing to them later. Who he says? Ye who sometimes were far off, lost and godly, unclean and righteous, are made now in the blood of Christ.
Friend, listen.
If anything's going to save you tonight, it's the death, it's the blood of Christ. That's what brings us back. Do the man again those words? Augustus Tommy. He went into a little place in County, a little bar. Two men were preaching the lay preachers. We would call them lay preachers, that's what they call them. And he was a fine young man, brought up very, very well, good background. Went into that meeting at 16 and he heard two men preach. It's through the gospel. And recognize, I'm not right with God. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And he went back the next night, and the man preached to this place. He who sometimes were far off, one night, by the blood of Christ, and because this top lady has seen many years ago,
walking in Devon, England, a big storm broke,
and the hailstones come out of the heavens. People were running for shelter, and he couldn't see anything for a little while. Finally, as he walked, he saw the side of the road, and he hurriedly went to that rock, and it happened to be it was kind of a little cleft.
He went inside that cleft,
and as the rain's coming down, and the heat stones, and the wind's blowing, and the storm is raging together, part of the little piece of paper.
and he wrote those almost immortal words. Rob ages actually. Let me hide myself in thee. And he's running back in his mind, racing quickly, to hand me back to a little barn, two creatures brought by with the blood of Christ, not the labor of my hands, can't fulfill the law's demands. Then those words, my life to the point of blood, let me see the eye of God. Then it's real to be saved, have you seen it?
The now of redemption, and as I close,
the now of resurrection. Yes. You don't care about your objection, and I don't care. I want to see my life. But anyhow, I will guarantee it next time. I will read that. You know something, if I was your objection, I'm going to face to the rest. Now he is on it.
Friend, if it happened to you,
and you were out of Christ, unsheltered by blood, unrepentant in your sins, friend, you would have been now. I don't often do this, as I sit down, friend, to your water and sit with kindness and love. And I'm here now, you never get. Don't you think God's hard? Kings don't have the attitude of a God. Stop with the man. We absolutely refuse Christ. Refuse to repent. Refuse the message.
I sit down, friend, and this meeting goes on. May God grace the meeting with his power, that you'll be awakened to repent, recognizing Christ as arisen, and redemption's free to you tonight. If you get saved, you'll be at rest eternally. Amen.